Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, hour number two on a Friday. Hope everyone having a great Friday, having a great weekend. Of course, we'll be back in on Monday at 12 o'clock, and we'll break down the entire Colorado series and get you ready for the Dodgers. Dodgers will be in town on Monday night. Monday night, the game one of a three-game series against the Dodgers at Petco Park, and we can't go. But we can listen to it right here on 97.3 The Fan. Okay, we're going to get out to phone calls. I also want to play a little bit of A.J. Preller on this morning with Ben and Woods. We're going to get to that shortly. But if you're out there and like to give me a call today, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Just a programming note for later today. They've got a short show. They're on from 3 to 4 today, Gwynn and Chris. But they're going to have Trent Grisham, Padres center fielder, on at 3:35. So make sure you tune in. Coming up at 1:35, we're going to go out to the campus of San Diego State. Mark Ziegler going to be covering that press conference for the Union Tribune. Matt Mitchell, if you haven't heard, has pulled his name out of the NBA draft, and he'll be coming back for his senior year. So that's great news for San Diego State. Mark Ziegler again at 1:35. We also have Bench the Coach coming up. And reminder, I mentioned it yesterday on the program. Starting on Monday, we've got some great giveaways on Bench the Coach. I mean, fantastic Padre giveaways. I mean, we got hats, we got blankets, we got face masks. We got a little bit of everything. So make sure you tune in each and every day to the program. And at 1:50, you'll have an opportunity to try to take me down. And we're going to do that again today at 1:50. In our next segment, Braden will tell you exactly what direction we're going. But I want to get back to the phones right now. Let's head out to Mike in San Diego. Mike, you're kicking off hour number two with Coach John Cantara on a Friday. How are you?
Hey, Coach.
How's it going?
Good. So, is it possible to let the pitchers hit and DH for our catchers?
No, you can't do that at the big league level. You can do that in high school and college, but you can't do it at the pros. It can only be for the pitcher.
That's a bummer, because I think some of our pitchers might actually have an average if we let them hit.
Well, they might have an average, but again, they might also get sawed off and bruise a hand and take him out of action. The big reason they did this year is they want to keep the pitchers off the bases from running or swinging, hurting an oblique muscle. So, yeah, I think the DH in the National League is here to stay.
Yeah, I like it. And one other thing, what does Greg Garcia lack to be an everyday second baseman? Because I love watching him hit. He comes through every time.
Well, Mike, I think the thing with Greg is, you know, he got kind of pigeonholed there in St. Louis. His college teammate Colton Wong was the second baseman. And, you know, Greg, you know, lost a lot of playing time. He played more last year for the Padres than he ever did in those years he was with the Cardinals. And I think part of the reason he got pigeonholed as a position guy, a guy that could give you a great late inning at bat. But, you know, he'd done a good job here in San Diego. But I think, you know what, I'll be honest with you. Where he's at in his career, I think this is a perfect role for him. Because you know why? Because he's a smart baseball man. He takes care of his body. He works hard. And I just think he's more dangerous to this ball club coming off the bench than he is if he was going to be a starting second baseman.
Well, it came through last night, so that was good. All right, thank you so much.
All right, Mike. Hey, I appreciate that phone call. Look forward to hearing from you again. That does open up a phone line. Of course, we're going to get to a lot of phone calls on a Friday, 833-288-0973. We head out to the East County. Bill, you're on with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. Bill, how are you?
Great, Coach. Padres are playing well.
Yes, they are.
I had a couple questions. One, I'm an Eric Hosmer fan. I wondered if you'd heard anything on him recently.
Well, you know, I know he's got a stomach issue. And from what I understand, again, the ball club's not in town. I'm having to go through some other sources. It hasn't been getting better. I don't think he'll be in the lineup tonight. We'll be monitoring when that lineup comes out, and it should be out before we get off the air. We'll try to pass that along. I'm anxious to see who's catching tonight, and I'm anxious to see if Hosmer's in the lineup. But from what I heard, I tend to doubt he's going to be in the lineup tonight.
Well, hopefully he comes back soon. I enjoy watching him play, and he's definitely been productive. I had one other question.
On both sides of the ball this year so far.
Yeah, I had one other question. How do you think the pitching staff's going to hold up as is for the rest of the season?
Well, I think they're going to get better. I think they're going to get in better condition. They're logging innings right now, and as much as the bullpen's struggling, there's too much talent down there for these guys not to come around. I'm not real happy about what I've seen the last couple of nights. But you know what? These guys are pros. They've been there. They've done that. Most of them have pretty good major league experience. I'm going to go with their track record. I think they'll get this thing turned around.
Well, they seem to be holding up so far. I appreciate phone call.
All right, Bill. Hey, I appreciate the phone call as well. Again, a lot of phone calls on a Friday. Love to hear from you at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Again, we're going to talk Aztec basketball, and we're going to talk to Mark Ziegler about a couple of other things today as well. That's coming up at 1:35. Let's get out to Chad and Santee. Chad, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. You got to be a happy guy today.
I am, Coach. Thanks for asking me to call again today. That made me feel real good, and I figured I'd do it.
No problem. No problem.
Hey, I've got a little option for you about the catching position. Now, last night, Hedges bunted in a run, right? That doesn't count as a hit, but it gets it on the scoreboard. So we might be 0-23 or whatever you say, but, you know, he's producing, and he's playing good defense. So is Mejia. So let me ask you this now on a different position. You think it's hotter outside in Santee or hotter off the bat from Jerks and Profar?
Well, Profar swung the bat exceptionally well last night. I hope he can be as hot tonight as Santee is today. Let's put it that way.
You know, of all the players on the team, Tommy Pham was a great pickup, and Tatis is a monster, and Machado's playing his heart out, Hosmer too, and yet Profar is my favorite guy to watch this season.
Well, you know the thing, Chad, watching Profar? I mean, Profar was like 0 for 15, all of a sudden, or 2 for 15, I think, something like that. And, you know, he hit the home run last night and had another hit. He's been on base quite a bit. He looks like he really enjoys playing the game. And I like watching guys that look like they're enjoy playing the game. And you know, I haven't met Jurickson, and I don't know if I will because of the situation we're in right now. But I'm kind of excited to meet him because he seems like, just watching him, like he'd be kind of a cool guy to hang out with and a cool guy to play with.
Yeah, and another thing is a lot of players that have been in the game for a long time, they come up to bat and they'll go down in the count 0-2 and they'll just strike out right away, swing at something and try to take a long ball and get struck out right away. You know, they've been in it too long, they're tired, they're bored, whatever. Jerks and Profar, every single at-bat this guy gets, he takes it to 20 pitches. It's insane. I love it. You know, half of the pitching count every day in the game is just going to him. You said, you know, we're at, what, 159 or something like that, average pitches per game? Well, probably 80 of those go just to Jerks and Profar.
Well, there's no doubt. Hey, I'll tell you, in that series against Arizona, he wore out that entire starting staff. I mean,
oh,
he was amazing. 10, 11 pitch at-bats. And that takes its toll, not only physically, but it really frustrates the pitchers mentally as well.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Chad, great call.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy the ball games this weekend, and we'll get ready to go against those Dodgers on Monday night.
One more thing for you, Coach. One more thing. For the catching position being 0-23, I got a couple options that I just Googled it. first being, okay, Nick Hundley retired. He played for the Padres a long time and loved the ball club. Why not ask him to come back? Same with Rene Rivera. He signed a major deal or a minor deal for 1 year with the, what, the New York Mets, I think. Why not, you know, try to bring him back? Or the other third option would be Chris Iannetta. He also signed a minor deal with the other New York team, the Yankees. So you got three options there. Super cheap, super efficient, all that have good, you know, skills and good talent that could, you know, jump right in to take over that role and we'd be hitting again.
Okay, first of all, Nick Hundley's living here in San Diego. He's working for Major League Baseball right now, so I think he's not coming back. Those other two guys you mentioned are with other organizations. The guy that I would kick the tires on and find out if there's anything at all left is Jonathan Lucroy, who 2 days ago got DFA'd by the Boston Red Sox. He's a former two-time All-Star, a 273 career hitter. That's the direction I would go if I were the San Diego Padres. But, you know, maybe they don't want to upset the apple cart. But, hey, Chad, good to hear from you. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the ball games. All right, I want to get to A.J. Preller because I listened to this interview this morning. And I thought Ben and Woods did an outstanding job of touching on all the questions that I would have liked to ask. And, you know, the first thing, and let's face it, we've talked a lot about it on this program, is about the catching situation. Here's what A.J. had to say to Ben and Woods this morning at 8:35 regarding the two catchers.
No, I think we feel good, you know, catching at the major league level, Hedges and Mejia, and you know, really throughout the organization, you know, in terms of depth that we built up throughout the organization. So, you know, again, I think the one thing you want to avoid is just overreacting to any performance, really good or bad, in the first few days from an evaluation standpoint. I think the sense of urgency we all feel, you know, 60 games, we understand, you know, what that means and how important each one of these games are. I think we all understand that, but you know, understanding too from a you know, full evaluation, you know, I think you make a lot of mistakes if you're, you know, if you're looking at a two or three game stretch, or you know, even a week, you know, even a series, you know, stretch for just trying to make that full evaluation. I think, you know, again, like with Hedgie and with Mejia, you know, I think we, you know, we have two guys that we feel very confident with. And, you know, I understand that from Hedgie's standpoint, what he does behind the plate, you know, handling the baseball, blocking the baseball, it is meaningful. It helps our team win games. You know, he continues to try to do everything he can from an offensive standpoint. No, I'm sure there's frustration when you go out and have, you know, the fact that, you know, he's offensively, you know, hasn't put together, you know, hit games, multiple hit games, and we're a week in, and, you know, I know fans are looking for that, but, you know, the combination of the two of them together, we think it's a good combination, and, you know, I think it's helped us get to where we're at from 5-2 standpoint, and, you know, I think those guys are going to continue to get the opportunity and expect them to play well.
AJ's talking about Hedges, you know, multiple hits. How about just one hit? How about just one hit? And what he says is true. I mean, Austin Hedges, and I brought it up earlier in the program, he saved a run last night late in the ball game. Great block. There's no problem with him behind the plate. We know he's a good catcher, but 199 career hitter and hit 176 last year. 176 last year and over 300 at-bats. How many teams have you seen get into the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs or get to the World Series and win it with a catcher that has a 199 career average? It just doesn't happen. Now, AJ, what about rotating these catchers?
Yeah, I think a few things. I mean, I think, you know, early on, Jace explained to both, you know, to both Frankie and to Austin that, you know, that you know, he's going to play both guys and, you know, let the season kind of unfold. If somebody, you know, lays claim to that job on an everyday basis, you know, we'll tackle that at that time. And, you know, if our team's responding or playing better in, you know, in a certain situation with somebody behind the dish, then we'll, you know, we'll go from, you know, then we'll attack it that way. So, you know, again, I think the number one thing for us with the catching spot, really any good team, it's handling the staff, handling the pitchers from a defensive standpoint. That's the number one thing, is they handle the baseball, you know, receiving 150 plus pitches a game. And, you know, I think in that light, both guys have done a good job. I think, You know, Frankie's improved a ton back there over the course of the last few years. You know, I think his ability to receive the baseball, work with the staff, block the baseball, you know, our pitchers will be the first one to tell you that. They've got a lot of confidence and faith in him back there. And, you know, from Hedgie's standpoint, we know what he can do defensively and, you know, finding ways for him to contribute offensively. So, again, I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of ways that we win games here this year. I think the two of them, you know, I know they're going to contribute to our team's success here going forward. And you know, I think we continue to ask for them, you know, to especially help us getting the pitching staff in a good spot.
It's very difficult to be in and out of the lineup and really get going offensively. Defensively, no problem. I mean, even on an off, you can go down and catch some guys in the bullpen to stay sharp. But, you know, as far as a hitter, you can take batting practice all you want, hit off the tee, soft toss, do all those things. You need to have game action. And when you're in the lineup one day, out the next, it's not fair to either one of the guys. I think Mejia should get the bulk of the catching right now and see if he can get that bat going. I mean, here's a guy that hit 265 last year. He got a little pop. And Austin Hedges, we know what he is. He's had over 1,100 at-bats. He's a 199 career hitter. Good defensive catcher. You want to bring him in late in the ballgame? Great. Bring him in. He can help you out like he did last night. Did a great job last night. And he laid down the bunt, which, again, I'm not trying to reach on this. I think the Giants probably weren't all happy about that with a four-run lead in the 10th. And he lays down a bunt and got a sacrifice out of it and an RBI. Great from the Padres standpoint. Not so great maybe if you're sitting in that Giant dugout. But he's trying to do whatever he can to help the ball club, and I appreciate that. But I think Mejia right now should get the bulk of the work. We need to find out more about Mejia. Is he a guy that we're going to bring back in 2021? Austin Hedges is going to get more money in arbitration, and at some point in time, it's not going to make sense to have him on the roster any longer because he can't bring you anything offensively. But we got to find out about Mejia. And I think in the 60-game schedule, the way the Padres are playing, he hasn't hurt him behind the plate. I'd give him the bulk of the work and find out whether or not he's a guy you want to have going forward after trading for him in 2018 and giving up your all-star closer in Brad Hand. Now, the last thing I want to play from A.J. Preller, and again, he was on Ben and Woods, part of our Friar Friday this morning. They asked him, after the first week, what do you think about your new manager, Jace Tingler?
Yeah, I think, I think you know, overall with the group, I do think that you know, the team is enjoying being on the field playing together. I think, you know, that comes through when you watch either, you know, watching the games on TV or being there. You know, so you always want to, you know, your manager creates an atmosphere, and I think your coaching staff helps to create that atmosphere where, you know, it's a competitive environment, but guys also that they can be themselves and be, you know, and be loose and go play and do what they need to do. And yeah, I think the whole group, they're enjoying getting back on the field, playing competitive ball. And I know we know we've got a lot of work in front of us here in these next 50 games. But yeah, I think Jace is at the ground running and, you know, looking forward to what the next couple of weeks bring about.
Thank you very much to A.J. Preller for joining Ben and Woods this morning, part of Friar Friday. And again, coming up at 3:35, center fielder Trent Grisham will join Gwynn and Chris. When we come back, the NBA resumed last night. Jazz beat the Pelicans. That was a heck of a ball game. And the Lakers took down the Clippers. We'll talk about that and get to your phone calls at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Thanks for tuning in daily to the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. And this hour of the John Quintero Show is brought to you by Smart Investing. Tune in Saturday mornings. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. right here on 97.3 The Fan to listen to the Smart Investing Show. Host Brent Wilsey has over 40 years of experience in finance and was recently picked as one of California's top investment advisors for 2020 by Forbes magazine. So make sure you tune in bright and early tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I catch that show every weekend because I listen a little bit of Let's Talk Hookup. I usually get the last hour, Let's Talk Hookup, and then I hear Brent Wilsey's show at 9 o'clock. Why? Because I'm out walking. I got to put in about 3.5 miles tomorrow, get this old body back in shape, feeling great. Had a little medical procedure early Wednesday morning, and definitely has made a difference. Okay, we're going to get back to the phones. We're going to get into the NBA here in a minute. Again, if you'd like to join us, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Mark Ziegler coming up at 1:35. We're going to talk little Aztec basketball. We're also going to ask him about a couple of the local soccer teams as well. And then, of course, we got Bench the Coach coming up at 1:50. Braden, what direction are we going today on Bench the Coach?
I have a list of 9 baseball players that have achieved this, that one of them did it last night.
Okay, very good.
I'm curious to see if you get one of these, Coach. It's kind of on the difficult side, but it was on Quick Pitch last night, so that's as much hints I'm going to give.
Okay, we're going to get to the NBA here in a minute. I was so excited about the Laker win last night. Now we'll talk about that, and we'll get you the schedule for tonight. We got a lot of NBA, NHL. We got it all. It's all coming back right now. Let's go to Solana Beach. Taylor, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How you doing today?
Good. What's going on, Coach? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making that call. It's going well. I'm sitting here in Solana Beach right now looking out my window. Another beautiful day.
There you go. So I just wanted to call in and talk about Jurickson Profar. I really liked what that guy Chad had to say earlier. And just one thing that's really stuck out to me about this team is just you were mentioning yesterday about how, like, the camaraderie between you guys at the station. I think Jurickson Profar is always a guy that I see with a smile on his face, always laughing, cracking jokes. And I think this team, I wasn't around for the 98 World Series or anything like that, but it just looks like they're having fun playing baseball. And I think with Profar last night, he obviously had a great game. And I think the average is going to get there, but I love what he can bring to the table. Because when he was on the Rangers, he was the number one prospect in America, but they obviously had Elvis Andrus at shortstop. But yeah, I just love Jurickson Profar. And another guy like that is Greg Garcia. They just bring the team together. And I think every squad needs two guys like that.
You know, Taylor, I'm going to tell you, I heard so much about Profar when he was coming up in the minor leagues. I got sick of it because they kept telling you how good this guy was, and they'd bring him up there in Texas. And, you mentioned Elvis Andrus, who's had a great career. I mean, he's had a great career. He's, well, I think, one double away from having 300 career doubles, and he's had a marvelous career. He'd been an all-star and done a little bit of everything, been to a couple of World Series. But, when Profar would come up, he wouldn't really do a whole lot. And I'm going, man, everybody's selling us a bill of goods on this guy. But now that he's gotten to San Diego, I saw what he did in Oakland last year. He didn't have a good year average-wise, but he hit 20 home runs. If this guy could hit 250, I'd love to see him come back next year. I mean, he's going to be able to, make – I think he's a free agent after this year, if I'm not mistaken. I'd like him to be a part of the Padres because he's still very young, and he's obviously got some power from both sides of the plate, and it looks like his throwing woes have gone away for the time being. Hopefully they don't come back, but I like the way the guy plays the game. He plays it like he enjoys it.
Exactly.
All righty. Well, hey, Taylor, you have a great weekend, and we'll see what goes on there at Coors Field. And then Monday, make sure you tune in. We got some great prizes to give away if you can take me down on Bench the Coach next week. And, of course, we'll get you ready for that Dodgers series starting on Monday.
100%. Thank you, Coach.
All right, you're welcome. That opens up another line at 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Luke in San Diego. Luke, you're next up with Coach John Cantara on 97.3 The Fan. How you doing today? Hey, Luke.
Coach, I think something to do with our phones today, because this has happened a couple times, and I know yesterday Ernesto was having issues, and I know Ernesto's usually good to getting on the air. So, Luke, call us back, please.
Okay, yeah, Luke can call us back. Okay, Braden, before the bottom of the hour, I want to get to the NBA because, man, I watched a little bit of – well, I watched a lot of the Laker game. And that game, by the way, took over 3 hours last night. It was amazing how long they dragged that game out. But I watched the first game, and the Pelicans ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. They ended up getting beat by 2 points by the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz, to me, looked like they were in a little bit better condition than the New Orleans Pelicans last night.
Are you specifically talking about Zion Williamson, or are you talking about other players on the Pelicans?
Just overall, I was watching the players, how they were breathing on the court late in the game, and it seemed like the Utah Jazz players were a little bit more at ease. It looked like the boys from New Orleans were huffing and puffing a little bit more. The other thing that I think played a factor at the end of that game, the Utah Jazz had more veteran players. I think youth really did New Orleans a disservice last night late in that basketball game.
What about the minute restrictions on Zion Williamson?
Well, you know, he missed 2 weeks of practice down there in the bubble. You know, he had to go home and deal with some family issues. He ended up starting last night. He played 15 minutes, 13 points, 6 of 8 from the field, 1 of 1 on free throws. Braden, he had no rebounds. He had one great assist. He threw a behind-the-back pass to one of his teammates for an easy layup. But I thought this was interesting. Of all the players in the game last night, you know, the plus-minus they do in hockey and they're doing in basketball now? When he was on the court last night, the Pelicans were minus 16. Now, I don't know if that's because he played poor defense or not, but he had the highest minus number in the entire ball game last night, and he played only 15 minutes.
You don't want to talk about the Lakers game now?
What do you think?
Yeah, Coach, you're running out of time here because we got to get to Mark Ziegler, so I'm waiting for you to just jump in on the Lakers.
Well, Lakers, they found a way to get it done. I mean, they had the lead. They gave it up. The Clippers ended up giving it up. But LeBron's big putback there, that missed shot of his own missed shot with 12.8 seconds left, made the difference in the ball game. Anthony Davis, a huge night. You know the thing that I was amazed about Davis? I could tell that he really spent some time during this pandemic working on his shot. I mean, he's shooting right now at an all-time career high from a three-point land. But I got to tell you, it looks like he put a lot of time in working on that shot. He ended up with 34 points last night. He was 16 of 17 from the foul stripe, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Kuzma came off the bench for 16 points. And Deion Waiters. Here's a guy that could help with Avery Bradley, not going to play anymore this year. Deion Waiters came off the bench last night, 5 of 10 shooting, 11 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. I thought he played great last night. In fact, I didn't know, Braden, I've seen Deion Waiters play before, but he's a lot more talented player than I thought. I was pretty impressed with him last night.
Lakers are a pretty versatile team, and here's LeBron James talking about them being a versatile team.
We have the ability to play different games, play different matchups, have different rotations. I think JR and Deion definitely gives us that even more of that ability to go small, having multiple ball handlers and scores on the floor. I thought Kuz was excellent tonight at AC off the bench. And we just tried to, after they made a run, which we know all great teams are going to make a run in the third quarter, we just tried to combat that by making our own run. And AD caught fire, just started defending a little bit more.
LeBron last night, 34 minutes, 16 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, did turn it over 5 times. In fact, last night, both ball clubs at times got a little sloppy, and you would expect that. They hadn't played in 4 months. Clippers had 20 turnovers last night. Lakers had 16. Paul George, a big night and a losing cause, 30 points. Kawhi, I thought, was fantastic last night, 28 points. And tomorrow, the Pelicans will go against the Clippers, and the Lakers will take on Toronto. We'll talk more about the NBA in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mark Ziegler from the San Diego Union-Tribune as the Coach John Quintero Show rolls on a Friday. Thanks for joining us on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .137 the time. Coach John Quintero going to 3 o'clock to be at Quinn and Chris. We got Bench the Coach coming up here shortly. If you're able to take me down today, you'll qualify to win a $20 gift card from the lot in a drawing here at the end of the week. If you'd like to try to take me down today, and that's going to be very difficult, taking me down and Bench the Coach. But 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Okay, we talked about Matt Mitchell earlier, and we wanted to have this gentleman on even before the announcement came down earlier this morning. Mark Ziegler, nice enough to join us on our SDCCU fan hotline. And Mark, you predicted this, that he would probably take his name out of the NBA draft, and he made it official this morning. And so Brian Dutcher and staff have to be very excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people expected it, but when a guy's out there and, you know, you don't know who's talking to him, you don't know what teams are showing interest, agents, and you know, a lot of things can change, and particularly in this case, because, you know, the original deadline was June 3rd, and it got pushed back to August 3rd, and that's an extra 2 months, and so, you know, we see how much has changed in our world in just a matter of days sometimes, so I think it's kind of a little bit of a relief and excitement as well, because, you know, you add a player of the year caliber type person with experience who knows your roster. It's not like adding a fifth year player who has to come in and learn everything. This is a guy who knows his way around, has a respect of teammates. And so that's just huge for them.
Hey, Mark, you know, obviously a different year, and there were a lot of things that normally if you would have, you know, had your name in the hopper, you could go to, you know, different camps and you could go to a different team and work out. What was Matt actually able to really get accomplished by doing it this year, considering everything had been shut down pretty much?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't get to do any workouts. There still haven't been any workouts. There hasn't been a combine. But he did talk to some teams. He told me he talked to the Rockets a couple weeks ago, had a really good conversation with them. And I think that kind of helps them, if anything, set him up a little bit for next year. Got him on the radar of teams that maybe told him, yeah, you probably should come back, but we're watching you now. And so I think it couldn't hurt him. But he got some ideas from I just talked to him earlier, and sounded like he got some ideas of things he needs to work on and things are going to be different. And the one thing he told me that he really wants to improve, I mean, he really played a consistent season last year, both coming off the bench and as a starter. You look at his numbers, his productivity, his efficiency, all were way up over his first two seasons. So he made big improvements there. But he said the big thing the difference you're going to see in him this year is leadership. He goes, I'm a leader on this team. I want that. I embrace that. And I'm ready to, you know, sort of be the man. And so I think that will be something that will help him take that next step.
Mark Ziegler from the Union Tribune, our guest here on 97.3 The Fan. You've watched his entire career. You've coached basketball. You've watched thousands of basketball games. Where do you think he needs to make the biggest improvement on? And where do you see him having the opportunity past his senior year in the NBA? What spot would he play in the NBA? But talk a little bit about areas maybe you think he needs to improve on.
Well, you know, one thing I thought, and he did it last year, was he needed to improve the efficiency of his three-point shot. He took a lot of step-back threes as a sophomore, sometimes bad shots. And shot selection sometimes is as important as being a good shooter. I mean, the more bad shots you take, the statistics catch up to you, regression to the mean. You might make a couple, but eventually it's going to catch up to you. And he took really good shots last year, much better than the year before. And he shot 39.3% on threes. He's one of the greatest free throw shooters in San Diego State history. So that part of his game has really improved. You know, I think just getting his body in that next level of fitness. I mean, he lost 20 pounds last summer. And I don't think it's simple for people just to lose 20 pounds and magically you're better. You have to adjust to your new body. And you could see he could do things like defensively, whether it was be a step further over and help or grab a steal or chase down a rebound or jump that extra half inch, you know, late in the second half to grab a rebound and not have someone go over him. You know, all those little things you saw. But I think this year we'll see a much more molded physique and someone who remember, he had that knee injury right at the beginning of last season. They kind of put him on the bench to start, put him a little behind. I think you'll see him come out of the gate, and I think that would be the big improvement for him, coming out of the gate in shape at 225, 230, and ready to go. I think those are the areas that you're gonna really notice him.
And we're visiting with Mark Ziegler. If you missed it, Matt Mitchell, the outstanding All-Mountain West Conference forward, announced that he's taken his name out of the NBA draft. He'll be coming back for his senior year. Mark, when you take a look at this Aztec basketball team with him officially coming back, how does it shake out, and where do you think right now they fall in the Mountain West Conference for next year?
Well, I think you've got to make them the favorite just because of the season they had last year. And, yes, they lost Malachi Flynn, who, you know, recently just this week was named not just Mountain West Basketball Player of the Year, but Mountain West Athlete of the Year for all sports for males. And you take a guy like that off the team, it's going to hurt you. But they have talented guys. They added two fifth-year seniors. They have everybody else back besides Yanni Wetzel among the regulars in the rotation and KJ Fagan. So they've replaced them. They replaced what they lost, I think, in many ways with Terrell Gomez, Josh Tomac from Maryland. But, you know, the key with Matt Mitchell coming back is the versatility he brings, because if you need to go small, and Brian Dutcher likes to go small, you've got to have a wing player that can guard a post. And they're very hard to find. A guy that has that kind of strength and savvy and understands positioning, and they have that in Matt Mitchell. And also a little bit of Jordan Shackle. Those two guys, they can go guard a four if they have to. Mitchell can even guard a five sometimes. And so that really gives them that versatility that makes them probably a little bit more dangerous than the team. That probably puts them ahead of a team like Boise State that's going to have a ton of transfers, but a ton of new guys and might not have the versatility that San Diego State's going to have now that Mitchell's back.
Hey, Mark, I know yesterday, and I'd heard it, but you wrote it yesterday about Yanni Wetzel. He went home to New Zealand, but he's actually going to play in Australia. Let me ask you this about him. Do you think if this was a normal year and the NBA had their summer league, do you think he could have got in the NBA summer league?
Absolutely. I mean, it was frustrating for him because, of course, he's a guy that was kind of on the fringe. He had one really good season in college, so a lot of people didn't have a lot of tape on him or knew a lot about him going into the season. Kind of like Matt Mitchell setting himself up for next year by kind of being in the draft this year, getting some people to know him. Yanni didn't have any of that. And so he really needed combines and workouts to get the attention of these guys and get on the summer league roster and then show what he could do. He didn't get that. And so he went back to New Zealand. He quarantined for 2 weeks in a hotel at the airport. So he could get back in the country and opted out of playing in the New Zealand League, which was sort of an abbreviated season, lower level league, but signed with an Australian team. So, yeah, he's probably, cost him chance. You know, he didn't have the chance to play in a summer league game here and maybe have a chance to get invited to a training camp. But I also think he's playing professional basketball. He's getting a paycheck and having a great experience in a great country, great city in Melbourne. And so I think he's kind of probably doing it the right way and probably in the end will end up where he should be, whether that's in the NBA or as a really good overseas player. But he's not waiting around, which is a good thing. He's going to get his career going. The other unique thing, which is kind of cool about this league, is it's all Australian teams and there's one team in Auckland, which is like a 3 or 4 hour flight away. So he'll get to go back once a season to Auckland and play in front of family and friends. So I think that's kind of a special thing for him as well.
Hey, Mark, I wanted to ask you a little bit about soccer. I mean, you're a big soccer fan. You've covered it for years and do a great job. And I always enjoy reading when you do write on soccer. You're so busy with the Aztecs, we don't get much of that in the paper any longer. But you wrote earlier this week, 1904 FC, they're taking the rest of the year off from NISA. You know, I actually went down to Lincoln High School. My family went down on a Sunday afternoon and watched them play. Not a bad level of soccer at all. What do you think their future is with the San Diego Loyal in town?
Well, it's going to be tough. And, you know, the thing that I've been around soccer too long. You've been around. You know what happens. You know, these teams say they're going kind of on hiatus. They're going to take a little break, and they never come back. I hope they do. I really do. I'm rooting for them. They're good guys. Alex Gontran is a good guy. Dan Baba, I got to meet him when he first founded the team. Really, really down to earth. Great player, great person. And so I'm rooting for them. I hope they make it. But it's just really hard when you don't play. I mean, they've been around 3 years. They played 8 league games. And that's just not enough to establish the kind of relationship and identity in the community that you need as a minor league sport to make it. The Loyal have done a really good job at that. And now they're getting to play again and they got their games on TV and, you know, look, it's not going to be the same as if they had the stadium full. They're losing money. They're bleeding red ink. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they have no way of recouping that with gate, but they're still establishing identity by being on TV. And I think they're going to fill that void that maybe, the 1904 is leaving a little bit of, and it'll be tough, to be honest. I hope they make it. It's a different league. It's a different level of soccer. It's a different structure in the NISA. So there are differences that might allow them to find a niche in the market, but I just think it's going to be really hard. I say 50-50 at best. I hope I'm wrong, but that's just the history of soccer in this country.
Hey, Mark, you know, I've watched just about each and one of the Loyal games. In fact, I sat next to your colleague, Tom Krasovic, at their home opener before everything got shut down. But you've watched world-class soccer for years. What are your overall thoughts of the USL and the level of play?
Well, people have to understand it is what it is. And you know, I think one of the challenges in San Diego is that we have a really sophisticated soccer market here. So MLS ratings are not very high. But World Cup and Copa America, Mexican League ratings, Premier League ratings are all really, really high compared to the rest of our country. And that's because fans here know what really good soccer is and the highest level is. It's a lot of notches below that. I mean, it's a whole level below MLS, and MLS is below, Mexico. And, a couple of years ago, a guy named Joel Campbell, who played at Arsenal, couldn't make it at Arsenal. I mean, he tried, and he had a couple of years, just couldn't make it. Bounced around some leagues in Europe, came to Mexico, and instantly was the leading scorer in Mexico. and Mexico is a notch above MLS. So when you start looking at the tiers, it's down there a ways, and you can tell. I think people need to go into those games not with the expectation they're going to see level of soccer you might see with Chelsea and Liverpool playing. But understand that soccer offers other things. It's the atmosphere. It's the game, the strategy. It's just the vibe you get with watching soccer. And I think people can take that from it. But if people have the expectation they're going to see the Lionel Messi, they're not in the USL. And they just got to understand that. And, you know, we get spoiled because we can see all this stuff on TV. But just understand, look, it's a local team. They're trying hard. They've got good, honest players who are working and training and trying to play the beautiful game. And they do a good job, but it's not the premiership. And people need to know that going in.
You know, I can tell you this, the way they present the game out there at USD was absolutely fantastic. I mean, a lot of commotion going on before the game as you're walking through the gates. I mean, it was a really fun atmosphere and a real fan-friendly atmosphere. And it's too bad that, you know, the fans can't come out now, but I certainly wish them the very best. And, you know, I hope 1904 FC is able to come back. Because I got to tell you, you know, my daughter's really into soccer. My grandkids are into soccer. We went down there on a Sunday. I'd gone to the Loyal game the night before, and we went down to Lincoln High School the next afternoon. It was very enjoyable, a lot of fun, and you kind of create memories as a family going to those type of games.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Loyal, you made a really good point. Loyal has done everything they can in terms of game presentation, in terms of engaging with the community. I mean, they have a big budget. They have an owner who's willing to spend money. They spend a lot of money on it. You know, that money doesn't come back to you right away. It's a long game they're playing, and they get that, and he gets that. They get an A-plus for their game presentation. And again, the product of the field is going to be, it is what it is, and people need to know what it is. But in terms of atmosphere and ambiance and a fan club and energy in the stadium, they've got that going. And San Diego can provide that because they get soccer. They get what it's about. They get the game. And I think they can take pride in having their own team. So it's good to see. And, you know, the more teams, the better. It's always dumbfounded me that an area like this, there's such a soccer-centric community, such soccer-literate community, doesn't have a major league pro team. But, you know, there's a lot more to it than just having a good, strong soccer community.
Yeah, very well put. Mark, just for the fans out there that enjoy reading your columns, when will that column be up on Matt Mitchell?
I've got a story up right now, but I'm just adding, I talked to him about an hour ago, and I'm just adding some quotes in the next few minutes, and so I'll update it with some comments from him about what he's looking forward to the season and whether but he still could jump back in the draft. August 17th is the NBA deadline. This is the deadline to retain your college eligibility, but he could come back, he could jump back in the draft in the next 2 weeks if he wants to. So I have some comments about whether he's considering that or not as well.
All righty, Mark. Great to catch up. Be well, and thanks for the time.
All right, you too. My pleasure, John.
There you go. Mark Ziegler from the Union Tribune talking Aztec basketball, getting it caught up on our two local soccer teams. And reminder, all guests on the John Quintero Show come via the SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. And for details, call 877-SDCCU for you, or you can apply online at SDCCU.com. Some very good stuff there from Mark Ziegler. And I hope 1904 FC does come back. Let's get back to the phones. Let's head out to Lakeside. Luke, you're next up with Coach John Quintero on a Friday. How are you?
Hey, Coach. What's going on? How are you doing, good sir?
Oh, I'm looking forward to the ball game tonight. I can tell you that.
We have entered in the house of horrors that we know is Colorado. I was kind of a little bit sketchy on the schedule when I saw that we get to play them 7 times in that facility. I'm always a little nervous with our guys playing there. But I'll tell you this, so it was Nelson Lament. I remember when Ben and Woods in 2018, they were the first to break the news when Nelson Lament actually was going to have Tommy John surgery like 3 days before the 2018 season. It was at that point I was like, oh, because I'd watched him in 2017 come up. And I'm going to tell you that guy's a number one ace. He's going to be an ace. He's going to be as good as PV. I promise you that. The guy is a gamer, and I love the fact that last night. He didn't maybe look like he had all of his best stuff, but he definitely pitched his heart out. And to me, if I had a game one or a playoffs or anything like that, I would actually pitch him before I'd pitch Paddock, just because Paddock doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of confidence right now in that curveball, and you can kind of see with how much, what his percentages are that he threw it. One of the things that I'm also concerned with is that bullpen. Now, you remember probably way back in the day, the Cincinnati Reds in the 90s. Remember the Nasty Boys with Rob Dibble and all those fellas down there?
Yeah, Norm Charlton.
Trying to fight anybody. Yeah, Norm Charlton and all that kind of like that. Like, literally guys that were just kind of insane. There was a nice documentary on the MLB Network. Now, see, I love those guys, but those guys had a certain swagger. Our infield has a swagger. It seems like right now, what I've seen from the bullpen, there's really just not that swagger. There's just not like, we're going to own you and like, we're going to get into your face. And I'm not sure it's just because there's no fans in the stadium or anything like that. Which I also noticed yesterday is, can you imagine how different that ball game would have been last night had there been fans in that ballpark? Because San Francisco would have erupted, you know, with a 6-1 ball game, and then the Giants come all the way back late in the seventh inning like that. That ballpark would have been turned up on its ear, and how does that affect our boys? So that's for me, that's kind of a little bit interesting to play out. And I will tell you this is one thing, is a lot of people were really happy about the Tommy Pham for like Hunter Renfroe trade. And I, of course, being a Hunter Renfroe, rooftop Renfroe, a loyalist, of course, I was heartbroken when that trade went down. And Tommy Pham theoretically has a lot of intangibles and stuff like that, but his defense right now is sketchy at best. And I would just like to ask you just one time, Coach, I mean, what do you think about maybe, you know, when it's Lucchese's turn up in the rotation, just, you know, pulling a fast one, you know, late scratch, and then bring up McKenzie Gulker?
You know what, Luke? I'll tell you, I think they know when they're going to bring up Gore. I don't think he's ready to come up here right now. And as far as a Renfroe for Pham, Pham's a much better all-around player. Doesn't have the power, but he's a much better all-around player than Hunter Renfroe. Thank you very much for the phone call. When we come back to kickoff hour number three, if you're on hold, Ernesto in National City, we'll get to you. We're going to three on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.